It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Friday, January 15th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Fans of this podcast, the BNS heads, sometimes ask me why we don't include the segment, What Did You Learn Today? With every podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose we could. The podcast is already so much longer than it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that segment often runs kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
So we include it when we think we have something especially interesting to share with you. Or like today, where we kind of had a bit of a laugh attack. You had me howling, Shauna.
Real stupid.
About what we learned about today.
Real stupid.
So you'll hear that That's at the coming. End of today's podcast. But first,
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know if you watched the press conference yesterday from AHS and the provincial government, but at one point, the Minister of Jobs, Doug Schweitzer, spoke. And as he came up to the podium, as they all do, he sanitized his hands before.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a clip of that right here. Here comes Doug to the podium and listen.
Oh my God. What?
Thank you, Minister Shandro, and
okay.
Does this dude have the driest hands in the entire world?
That is, you need to moisturize, sir.
Listen to those mitts.
Holy crap.
Oh my God.
That's off.
Ah.
Oh, that hurts me.
Ah. Like someone chalking up before gymnastics or something.
Like, what is going on? What kind of hard labor work are you doing on the side, Schweitzer?
Minister of Jobs / landscaper Doug Schweitzer. I have a theory, though.
Yeah.
You might remember that in early December, Doug Schweitzer was mocked because he went up to the podium and he fake sanitized. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He, like, pretended to pump and then pretended to rub his hands together and then didn't actually sanitize. And everyone
Hilarious.
Was like, that was a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in order to make sure that doesn't happen again, Dougie has been going buck wild with the hand sanitizer. I think he's hitting every hand sanitizer dispenser that he sees just to show everybody that he's actually sanitizing. He's not pretending.
Well, I bet you he's exfoliating his hands just to make it so that it makes that really loud noise, too. Just to really rub it in, send it home to people, you know? Like, oh, that's...
I sanitize. Listen to how dry my hands are.
Listen to these hands.
I have the driest hands in Alberta.
Oh, my God.
Also the cleanest.
They're about to fall off,
We're
really.
We're talking 80-grit sandpaper hands on Doug there.
Oh, my God.
This is Doug's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Doug.
Imagine we had to do that before we talked just to get the point across to everybody. Like... Yeah.
Our hands are
clean. We are
there we go. You hear that?
Clean as...
That's actual sandpaper against wood. Can you tell the difference between Doug Schweitzer's hands and actual sandpaper? Which one is that? It sounds the same.
I can't tell.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Welcome to Conspiracy Corner, your platform for outlandish conspiracy theories. Beckler along with Shauna.
Here's a juicy one that I hadn't learned of until yesterday. That Diana Ross and Smokey Robinson are Michael Jackson's real birth parents.
Whoa.
Oh, man. So the theory goes that Smokey and Diana got pregnant very young. Smokey would have been 18 and Diana only 14 years old. So to protect the young Diana and Smokey, record executive Barry Gordy arranged to have their kid given away. So he gave Michael to his old boxing buddy from Chicago, Joe Jackson, because Joe had a big family and Michael would get everything he needed, and then they could train him to become an entertainer at the same time, and it protected the two's image by taking this child out of the picture, and this all led to the formation of the Jackson 5.
This is spicy.
This is a spicy theory.
Wow.
So there's a whole bunch of evidence that you can dig up. Some of it seems to be more telling than others, but first of all, Diana grew up on the same street as Smokey, and she has publicly
the
admitted...
The smoking gun!
The smoking gun!
No, I'm sorry.
No. That was a bad...
No.
But yeah, she publicly admitted to being in love with him.
Okay.
She also moved high schools around the time that she could have been pregnant, which some believe was to hide the fact that she was expecting.
Where does Michael come into this?
Well, it was that he was given away, right?
I understand that, but this evidence so far doesn't point to Michael.
No, no.
It points to perhaps her having a pregnancy at that age.
Yes, exactly. I know. But then on the Merv Griffin show in 1970, Diana Ross was asked about her help with the Jackson 5, and she said, "I love them dearly. We have one of them in the audience. We have Michael Jackson somewhere out there. Where is he?" And then, "There he is. That's my child. That's Michael."
Whoa.
So
okay.
She said that.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's a movie called Double Platinum, which stars Diana Ross and is about how she gave up her kid for her career and later reveals to the kid that she's her mother when she sees that kid has talent and then goes on to help her kid with a career.
Okay. So there's a few things.
Which some people think is parallel to what happened in real life. And that movie was, in fact, about her real life.
The one flaw I see in this. Mm-hmm. Is that
the one, only one,
okay. The big one?
Yep.
Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson looked like brother and sister,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
yeah.
Before Michael, you know, had his surgeries and got all weird looking and stuff. But when he was a young man,
yeah,
like they look like brother and sister to me.
That's true.
And I realize this is using like the logic that you see on Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Where they're like,
well, he must
that's the baby's
broke.
Daddy. Look at him. He's got the same chin as him.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not DNA.
No. No,
so I'm kind of doing
that's
that.
Right there.
I'm kind of doing the Jerry Springer thing here, but yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just a coincidence that Janet and Michael look
yeah.
very similar.
It just happens to be a coincidence, you know. Maybe they even
okay.
yep.
On the plausibility scale, Shauna, how many Justin Castro Trudeaus out of 10 does this one get?
I'm going to give this one 11 and a half Justin Castro Trudeaus out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Here's got a great job.
Who?
Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the federal NDP. And I'll explain my thinking to you here.
Mm-hmm.
So, Prime Minister is a tough job.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not, Justin Trudeau has a difficult job, I would say.
Yeah.
I think opposition leader is also a tough job. But with Jagmeet, and I don't mean to discourage his voters, he doesn't have a great shot at ever being the Prime Minister, right?
Right.
Think about the last election, like even against Trudeau, who was mired in scandal, and Andrew Scheer, who bombed as conservative leader.
Yeah.
Singh's NDP still managed to lose seats. To lose seats.
Yeah.
So the stakes aren't real high for old Jagmeet, and that means he can say whatever he wants, basically. I saw him on the news last night, and they're talking about the vaccine rollout, and he's been very critical of the vaccine rollout. And he can be critical without having to worry about having to handle that himself, you know?
Yeah.
A month ago, he said Canada should be producing our own vaccines. He's also said we should have universal dental care and prescription drugs should be covered. And you can make all these promises if you're never going to be the guy who has to enact them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be careful what you wish for. I don't think you can do that. Just in case somewhere down the line, you know, strange things could happen and you could be put in that seat.
You could.
And then you're in trouble because then you've got all these things that you've said.
People could be so fed up with the other two parties, they're like, we're going to elect Jagmeet.
But you're right. I mean, even with, you know, the presidential election, you know, the people who don't have a shot.
Yeah.
Can say all kinds of things.
They sure can.
Right? And then you're just like, well, you'll never have a chance to you know, see these things through. So go for it. Say whatever.
You know, I think there are a lot of people in this country who agree with Jagmeet that, you know, we should have universal dental care yeah. and that prescription drugs should be covered. But it's much easier to say those things
yes,
than to bring them into fruition, isn't
it's
it?
True.
Being Jagmeet Singh, I imagine, would be like running for class president in high school just forever, you know?
Yeah.
You just and the vending machine should be free. Yeah, they should be free, shouldn't they?
Recess every period.
And we should all get dirt bikes. Two dirt bikes. We should all get two dirt bikes. I'm Jagmeet Singh.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Have you heard much about this open pit coal mining decision, Beckler?
Just starting to hear about it. I saw that my boy Corb Lund was pretty upset about it, and I haven't had a chance to really dive deep into it yet, but I know that Corb very rarely gets political, so when I saw that he was talking about it, I was like, oh man, he must be quite mm-hmm. concerned.
Well, so basically, the UCP government quietly revoked a policy that's been in place since 1976 that kept coal mines out of the mountains and eastern slopes of the Rockies, meaning it's kind of now open season for companies to come in and start mining. And one mine is currently under review. A bunch of areas with mountains have been leased for exploration. And since that, people are now kind of starting to find out about this and are starting to speak out against it, saying that they don't agree with that.
So this was back, the website I'm looking at, it says June 1st
yeah,
is when the coal development policy was rescinded.
Mm-hmm. So it was a while ago.
And did it just take? Is it because it was done so quietly that we're only hearing about it right now?
I think so. Like, I vaguely remember hearing something about it, a rumbling, but it was quickly gone. Like, I remember after being like, oh, okay, I don't know what that was. And then now it seems like everybody is starting to speak out against it. Actually, the mayor of High River recently said that he disagrees with it, and he's now speaking out. So there's a bunch of communities even that are now saying that they disagree with this, and they think that they shouldn't have done this.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this, but from what I understand, one of the big concerns is that a byproduct of the coal mining process is something called selenium. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that wrong? Selenium?
Yep.
And if it gets into the water, then it can really cause some problems downstream for communities that rely on that source for drinking water.
Yeah, well, that's it. It can directly affect the headwaters of rivers that we use for drinking water across the province. And I guess, of course, there are some species that are endangered and it's affecting their habitat or could potentially do that. And so a lot of people aren't a fan of that.
Has the government responded yet? I poked around
I've
a bit
seen.
And I couldn't see anything about this.
And I'm sure it's going to come to that. I know a couple First Nations have now set, you know, some, they've gone to the courts with it, mm-hmm. and they're trying to fight it that way as well. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about it in the coming days, but it does seem very strange that this happened way back in June.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to hear about it.
It's reminding me a little bit of the park deregulation, the parks that were supposed to be delisted. And it took a lot of noise in this province before the government finally addressed it and then finally walked it back.
Yeah.
So are we about to undergo that same sort of battle again here over this coal development policy?
I'm thinking we might as time comes. Hmm. Yeah.
You know, whether or not we ultimately decide that this is a province, we decide that this is the best thing for us, because people aren't going to like to hear this, but coal is still very important to this province. 43% of power generated in Alberta comes from coal.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of need it right now.
Yeah.
But whether or not that's the best long-term plan for this province, I'm sure we could have a long conversation about. There should be public consultation, though. This is not something that should be done sneakily.
Yes. And I think that's the bottom line. And from what I'm reading, that's people's biggest concern. It's not the coal mines themselves. People do have concerns about that, of course. But it's the whole kind of secretly or sneakily trying to get this in and not letting people know about it or have any sort of public consultation.
Right. Give us the details. Yeah. Let us know how, like, tell us how important coal is to this province.
And we can weigh the pros and cons,
right? We can decide about that. Mm-hmm. But you're right. When it's done kind of backdoor, greasy,
mm-hmm.
especially when you consider that this is a decision that's going to affect this province long after any of the people who form this government are still around. It should be a decision we make out in the open, I think.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Wow, you can already tell how polarizing this debate is going to be, because we got a bunch of messages from people who feel strongly one way or the other.
Yeah.
About this proposed, is it two proposed mines, Shauna?
Yeah, from what I gather, everybody seems to be talking about one in particular that is owned by an Australian company.
Yes.
And that one is quite controversial already. So
this message from Cam, he said, this summer, within days of hearing of the government decision, two mining companies opened offices in the Crow's Nest Pass. My sister lives there and says there's been lots of activity in the area to prep for new mines very near the town sites, along with rail transfer yards, etc. within the town. I don't know all the details, but seems like it was planned well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got a couple messages from people who pointed out the fact, you know, I mentioned power generation in the province, and exposing how little I know about this topic, this is metallurgical coal that's being mined, and it's used mainly in the production of steel. So it's not used for heat or power generation.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, none of this stays in the province, really. It's put on trains, it heads to Vancouver, and then it's sold elsewhere in the world. And the going rate for this stuff is between $140 and $160 per ton. Alberta's royalty is 55 cents per ton. So Terrence says, not only does this not make environmental sense, it also doesn't make any fiscal sense.
Hmm. Yeah, I was saying we're going to have to read more into this, because, again, there are other people who are saying this makes great sense and that, you know, this has been something that we need.
Especially, I guess, for those communities in that area, because they're dying right now and they're looking forward to the jobs and the increased.
And I drive through, I drive to Fernie from Calgary all the time, and you pass through all those communities, Crow's Nest and you know, Elkford is close by, and Sparwood, and
yeah,
they're all
country, isn't it?
Huge. Yeah. And so, for those, of course, they need this. So,
and what's two more minds if you live in coal country already is maybe how they look at it?
Absolutely. The problem is that I guess where they're planning on putting some of these mines is actually going to have some fairly significant environmental impacts. So,
and then there's the question of what rights do the people who live downstream of these effects have?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, this is great. These are all conversations that we can have around these developments.
Yep.
If it's out in the open.
Definitely.
And someone messaged us and said, like, if you pay attention to the government, this wasn't hidden, but I didn't see it.
I know, and I was saying, you and I are constantly, of course, trying to keep up on the news for this show, and neither of us have heard about it, and in fact, that's what the sentiment is with a lot of people who are talking about it right now, is we didn't even notice this, and now we're talking about it because we've discovered it.
Maybe if you have a stake in this industry,
of course,
you're more aware of it.
For sure.
I think the general public is just finding out about it this week, and that's what's going to spur this debate.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You know those videos where a person is holding up a bunch of pieces of Bristol board with writing on them? So the video starts and it'll be like, I'm just about, and that'll be written on like one of the pieces of paper or a sign that this person's holding up. And then they flip to the next sign and it'll be like, to tell my wife.
Oh, you're talking Love Actually style.
Yeah, that.
To me, you're perfect.
I'm going to tell you something profound. And then they keep flipping and you're like, okay, get to the point here. Like, what's happening? Can we end those?
Yeah.
Like, those are happening so often now. Like, every other post I see is one of those damn things with the Bristol boards. And you're like, I just get to the point here.
This is a TikTok thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This is the fault of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you just say it?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just say what you're saying
much
or write
quicker.
It out in a post and then we can read it at our own pace instead of you smiling, grinning like an idiot?
Yeah. Yeah. And it
three words at a time.
It's always less and less, too. It's becoming like eventually it's just going to be one word at a time. And I'm like, I don't have 2 hours to waste on this.
One
like,
letter.
Oh, my
space.
God. Yeah. Come on, stop dragging this out.
There's worse ones still, and it's the ones where it's like a shot of a person's face, and then these like the words are coming up on the screen around them, and they're like reacting to it with facial expressions. Like, 6 years ago, I decided to quit drinking.
Oh my God.
And since then, and there's like, oh.
Yeah. I know.
I just want to see like someone come in and sucky them from the side of the screen, don't you?
Like, I see those now and I immediately just scroll faster. Like, I'm like, oh, get that out of my feet.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You said you watched the Leafs-Habs opener the night before last.
Sure did. Go Leafs.
Did you see at the end of regulation where Austin Matthews took some nasty cross checks in front of the net?
Yeah.
From the Canadiens defenseman?
Mm-hmm.
So after the game, an agent from his firm tweeted out, watching the abuse that star players take is hard to watch. Felt like the 80s with the cross checks in the back and the hacking and slashing. NFL protects quarterbacks. Why don't we?
Yeah.
And some people say, well, you know, he was screening the goalie. But Ray Ferraro, he tweeted this. He addressed this in a tweet. He said, it's not a penalty to stand anywhere on the ice. Cross-checking someone in the back is. There was actually a rule in the rule book on this. Nowhere does it say that the rules don't matter in front of the net. And I was thinking, as a fan of hard physical hockey, this is something I've always wondered myself. Like, why can you just go to town on someone with cross checks if they're standing in front of the net? Why is that legal?
When you can't do it anywhere else and then you stand in front of the net and you can...
Yeah, if you did that against the boards or in the neutral zone, you would be going for two.
It would be a penalty.
Be sitting.
Mm-hmm. I know. It seems really bizarre. It's like that, there's because you're in front of their goalie, then it's all of a sudden allowed while you're in front of the goalie. But as you said, that's not a rule. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And I don't even think you have to make it an argument about the abuse of star players. It's any player, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I think a defenseman should have to clear the front of the net in some other way by being bigger or being stronger on his skates.
Yeah.
And those cross checks are called so inconsistently that, you know, if the player flops, then he gets a call.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if they're looking to even up the call, then they'll make the call then. And it just seems so inconsistent. Like, I think if you go hard with two hands on a guy's back, that should be a penalty every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that because you're magically in front of the net, that doesn't count now.
Yeah, I've never got that.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Well, it looks like winter is finally going to arrive next week.
Which forecast do you have?
The Weather Network. It's at the end of next week.
End of next week.
So
okay,
it's basically,
yeah,
we have got a week, and then come a week from today, the weather is going to drop down significantly, apparently, and we're going to get a bit of about a winter.
Well, that's pretty good. A week from today is January 22nd.
Yes.
And if you can make it to January 22nd without having any real winter weather, other than, of course, the huge dump of snow we had.
Yeah.
It that's crapped. Pretty good.
Like, yeah.
You can't complain about that. I mean, Environment Canada's forecast is showing early next week still some pretty warm plus temperatures, 7-2.
I kind of like that they've told us, though, in advance. Like, I was seeing that some of the weather guys were reporting this. They're like, okay, the polar vortex will come. We are actually going to see some winter temperatures. But we have a bit of a time to lead up to it, too. So it's like, great, we've got a week now to go and enjoy the nice, milder temperatures. We can stock up, maybe grab some items so that we can hibernate for a couple weeks after that.
That's a great plan, yeah.
Right? Yeah, get out there, maybe stock up on some movies.
Movies, snacks, maybe a new video game you've been eyeing up for your Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some things for like Scrunton, if you want to.
Scrunton supplies.
Go get to some Scrunton.
There's a run on Scrunton supplies in the city. There's a cold front moving through. You can't get any of the things you need for rinsing.
If that comes out. It's a strange shortage of rinsing supplies out in Calgary right now. It's our fault, for sure.
Thank you for the heads up, though. I am going to prep for this. I'm going to
go get some Scrunton supplies.
Make sure I have some whiskey and chop a bunch of firewood so I don't have to go out and do it when it's cold.
Yeah, some oysters.
Scrunton supplies.
Get
I'll stop at the Scrunton
supplies.
The old Scrunton Emporium on the way home.
You better.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So the Montreal Impact, Montreal's Major League Soccer team, has changed their name. Did you see this?
No. Was Impact offensive or something?
No, they just decided they wanted to do some sort of image update. They've had the same name for a long time. So their new name, Club de Foot Montreal. As in, of course, Montreal Football Club.
Montreal Club Foot.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I hear it. Which, of course, is what Europeans say in place of soccer is obviously football, right? But in Quebec, the word soccer is used much more often than football. So it seems like a bit of a weird change to me.
I guess it's just like Toronto FC, though. Toronto Football Club.
You're right. They
we
think
call
it's
it soccer
fashionable.
Here in Canada, yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention, though, instead of Club de Football, it's just Club de Foot.
Does that literally translate to Club of Foot?
Yes, it does.
Cool.
Yeah.
Real cool.
I didn't realize that we use the word foot now. Like football, I've heard. Even footy, I've heard. Mm-hmm. But is foot now the word that we use to describe football, which is then soccer as well? Like, I didn't know that that was a thing. Someone online was saying that it is no longer cool to say the ball at the end of the sport. They were saying, you just play basket now.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
I was okay, because I was like, I did not realize this, and I've been sounding real uncool then saying the full word
say, like,
basketball.
You want to play some foot? Would that make sense?
No. It sounds weird to me. I don't know about you.
Yep.
Let's go play foot. Like, so then do the Blue Jays play base, you know? We're going to beach volley.
Both of those sports, you say you want to play some ball.
I know.
And I guess the assumption is that you know what type of ball we're talking about here.
Yeah. Like, you're not, I play soft. Do you play hard? Like, no one takes out ball. I don't know why we're just getting rid of.
That's odd.
Club to foot.
Club of foot.
The
I play for the Montreal
foot.
Club of foot.
Yes. You do what now?
Okay.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Earlier this week, we were talking about how Alberta has apparently been rat-free since about 1950, and whether or not that's actually true.
Well, we were talking about how a friend of mine wanted to get a pet rat for her kids, and then, of course, you can't get a pet rat here because we are rat-free.
Yeah.
Makes
and
perfect sense.
We have rat patrols at the border, and I'm sure the odd rat sneaks in. I'm pretty sure I saw a rat one time on the Alberta side of Lloydminster. But that is where you'd expect them to,
I suppose,
to jump
so.
The border if they were going to, right?
For sure.
But while we were talking about this, our text line started blowing up and our phone lines, and everyone had the same thing to say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the rat patrol be rat cops? And yes, they would be. Their job is to police the rat population.
Like, we couldn't have even avoided it. Like, 17 people reached out and were like, you missed rat cops.
Also, we're pretty dumb because we walked right into it.
I know.
It's our own fault.
I mean, it's because we try to avoid it, let's be honest, but this one we couldn't.
So we promised rat cops before the end of the week, and the week is almost over.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Rat cops!
Rat cops! For cops that hunt the rat pack will trap and send you right back.
Rat cops! cops!
Rat cops!
Time to take out the rats.
If you're a cheese hoarder, we'll send you back across the border.
Rat cops!
Rat cops!
What kind of rat you hanging, son? Just the rodent kind, sir. That's right.
We've got a tail. Oh, that's attached.
Rat cops!
Rat cops!
Rat cops!
We got reports of trouble at the border. Let's roll.
I smell a rat. Like a literal rat, it's this way.
Rodent cops!
Rodent cops!
Drop your cheese and get down on your knees.
Rat cops!
Rat cops!
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Hey, what did you learn today?
Okay, I learned something about the rat.
What'd you learn about the rat?
The noble rat. So I guess the rat's tail is really quite impressive. Do you know what a rat's tail is for, Shauna?
No.
Or do you have a guess?
Balance?
My guess would have been balance, too. But it's got a few different reasons, but one purposes. One of them, like, is to explore the area around it.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is as a heat exchange. So it helps regulate the rat's temperature. Because it's so long and exposed.
Interesting.
And there's so much skin surface on it that it can, like, you know, it can transfer heat between the rat and whatever it's touching, which is super gross. Also,
a little bit gross, yeah.
It has a defense purpose, too. So if the rat is caught by prey, it can actually deglove. Like, it'll allow the tail to be degloved. And if you don't know what degloving is, do not Google it.
No.
It's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. But basically, like, a layer of skin comes off the tail, allowing the rat to get away. But the problem is that there are so many, there's so much vascular tissue in the rat's tail that it then becomes vulnerable to disease and bacteria getting in through the tail that has since been degloved. And rats often live in dirty environments. So you can imagine that. I hope no one's eating
this
right now.
This is disgusting.
Sorry.
Thanks for all of that.
We did rat cops earlier and I got reading about the noble rat.
I would rather you have not.
And so, I learned all these things about the rat's tail.
I have something real stupid to just get.
One more thing about rat tails here. God. Sorry.
Is it just as disgusting? Because I
just
think we
as
could
disgusting.
Go- oh, great. Good.
Okay, I won't even go into description, but just Google Rat King. If you're down to see something super gross, Google Rat King. He's not just a bad guy from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It is a real phenomenon in the world of rats. Sorry, I got nothing else to say about rat tails.
Disgusting.
Although the haircut's kind of funny.
I am no longer hungry. Yeah.
Sorry, what did you learn about there, Sean?
What if the rat tail, the hairstyle also didn't regulate temperature, you know?
Yeah. If I had a rat tail, I would just tell people that's what it's for.
It regulates temperature. I just tweak that to the right a little bit. I'm a little hot over here.
It's not a thermostat. You just have to crank it.
What's
one way or the other.
What's the temperature of that soup? Let me just dip my rat tail in and I'll let you know. Turn around here with the rat tail. And
it's not a thermometer either.
Is it too hot? Now, I would just lie and say that to everybody. No, it regulates temperature, I swear.
It also works as a defense mechanism. If a predator grabs you by the rat tail, you can shed it. Take off into the night.
Oh my God, just whip it at him.
And here we've been making fun of that haircut all these years.
I'm so growing a rat tail.
Do you have anything to say, or do you think we learned enough about
rat
tails?
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.